Lauren Long is in the studio with me tonight, although he lives right here in the greater Cincinnati area. His number one New York Times best-selling books are diverse and have a broad reach. He's illustrated the classic Little Engine That Could, Madonna's Mr. Peabody's Apples, and President Barack Obama's Of Thee I Sing. He's here tonight to talk about the fifth book in his Otis series, That Lovable Little Tractor, which he writes and illustrates. His latest Otis book is titled Otis and the Scarecrow. Always lovely to see you, Lauren. And great. Otis, yeah. Too.
Thank you, Barbara.
Start us off by giving us a sample of the latest Otis book. Read for us, if you would, from it.
It was summer when the Scarecrow first came to the farm where the friendly little tractor named Otis lived. Back when the corn was tall and ripe, Otis recalled how the crows had scattered at first. They wanted nothing to do with the Scarecrow, which made the farmer very happy. Otis was also happy. A new friend had come to live on the farm. But when Otis went to welcome him, the Scarecrow didn't smile or say hello. He just stood there, a sour look on his face, staring at the cornfield. After a while, Otis left him alone. When the farm animals came by to greet the Scarecrow, once again, he didn't smile or say hello. He just stood there, that sour look on his face, staring at the cornfield. The animals didn't know what to think. Who was this new creature? The horse curled his lip at the Scarecrow's musty smell. The ducks pointed at his tattered clothes. The little calf and the puppy were frightened by him. Finally, the bull snarled, huffed, and turned away. And the Scarecrow stood there, alone. Summer passed, and by, the crows came back around. They perched, picked, and pecked at the Scarecrow. Otis noticed that the Scarecrow didn't shoo them away. He just stood there with that sour look in his face, staring off at the cornfield. Otis puffed a soft sigh and turned to catch up with his friends.
This story finds Otis and his friends with somebody, something that is different. Tell us a little bit more about this story and what you wanted children to, and adults reading to them, to take away from this Otis and the Scarecrow.
As you know, Barbara, Otis is this intrepid little tractor who's had these adventures on the farm, and he kind of saves the day, and sometimes he's kind of heroic. For example, in Otis and the Tornado, he was literally running, racing against Mother Nature, and he got his farm animal friends down in the lowest part of the farm in the creek bed. And then he discovered that he had left the bull in his bullpen, and the bull was mean to everyone. So Otis raced to save the bull under tough conditions. So that's more of an action-packed thing. But I think what I was really trying to tap into with Otis and the Scarecrow is simply empathy. I think of all the wonderful things and the noble efforts that Otis has done in my books, this one might be the most important. This one might be the greatest act that he has done. And it didn't take major heroics in terms of physical racing and speeding, and it didn't take a lot of brains, although, of course, we know Otis has all those qualities. But all this took was him standing up and noticing the feelings of someone else. So believe it or not, this idea kind of came when I was thinking about one of my favorite movies, and that is Dead Poets Society. And of course, recently we've lost Robin Williams, which brings it back to me even more. But I love that movie for all of its messages, but there is that one Captain, My Captain scene when the boy at the end stands up on his desk to let his captain, to let his teacher, who influenced him so much, know how much he loved him and cared. And certainly, there is a moment in this book that I tried to bring that out in my own small way in this children's picture book, and that is Otis had all of his friends around him. They were playing their games. Everything was wonderful on the farm. You know, farmland, the fall and the harvest is a great time. The air is cooler, and largely a lot of the work is done. So Otis is there in his comfort, but there is another creature on the farm that is all alone. And finally, Otis couldn't handle it. He had a moment where he just stood up. And he simply putt, puff, puttity chuffs down the hill, motors right up to the scarecrow, who's lonely in the cornfield the whole book. He looks up into the painted eyes of the scarecrow and turns his tractor around and sits down next to the scarecrow. That's the heroic act. He stood and sat down next to the loneliest creature on the farm. Even though this creature had never smiled at him, even though this creature had never talked to him. And that's another thing I like about it. This is a giving act. He wasn't expecting anything in return. So in my own small way, I love this kind of thing where I've been given this gift to create art and tell stories that I know there's a growing audience for. I know that somebody, some child will be reading this book. You know, that's a good feeling in this world we live in, that children can learn empathy from a book and an experience with their loved one, their story time. Or this is a great talking point for teachers in classrooms, and it feels very good, Barbara. Thank you.
Well, I absolutely appreciate you filling all our listeners in on it, because I agree with you. I love your books, and I think this one really does stand out. It was interesting to hear where the idea for this book came. And I'm wondering, does Otis kind of have a special place in your mind? Because this is your fifth book, actually your sixth. You did a board book, two of Otis. Do you sort of just almost innately look for situations that you might place him in, or do they just sometimes come out of the blue?
That's a question I'm getting more and more now that we're on the fifth hardcover of Otis. But I love it because I'm committed to do six hardcovers. So, as you know, I did the first Otis and had no idea that there'd ever be a second or third, or let alone a fifth Otis hardcover. It was just a one and done story in my mind. But I enjoyed it so much, and it did seem to connect with an audience. So, you know, in this world we live in, a publisher loves that. So they ask, do you have any other ideas? And it's farm life, and it's a heroic character in an everyday sort of setting. So I was like, yeah, I'm sure I could come up with a lot of Otis stories. So I actually wrote Otis and the Scarecrow second. It was the first story I wrote when they first asked me, do you have any other ideas? And it's kind of interesting because they didn't really embrace it, but it was a different story. And I think one of the reasons they didn't embrace it is because I didn't know where I was in the Otis world. After I created the first book, I had no thought of this world that Otis existed in. I didn't really know who Otis was, interestingly enough. He's a character that I created. But for example, I had the Scarecrow being this very sort of whimsical character, almost Wizard of Oz more, like he was telling knock-knock jokes. And it was really silly. And I had Otis talking a little bit. So now I clearly know my Otis the tractor does not talk. He says putt, puff, puttery chuff, and he acts. He's a doer. And nobody on the farm talks except the farmer and maybe Fire Chief Douglas in the first story and some of the humans. So at the time, I didn't know what this world was about.
And I do want to jump to illustrations now, because in this book, I'm always touched really by your use of what I would call shadow and shading. But in this book, as in some others, there's a lushness in this case with the pumpkins. So fall just, you know, is just kind of jumps off the page at you. Yeah. And I wonder if you do achieve some balance between color and shading or shadow, or, you know, if that's always sort of uppermost in your mind. Yeah. When you're doing the illustrations?
Well, for the Otis story, since I decided early on to make them essentially limited color with like monochromatic settings and then spots of color on the characters and whatnot, color has been a big thing through the Otis book. So the first one was pretty much monochromatic settings with spots of color on the characters. The second one was Otis and the Tornado. So the sky became another character in terms of color. If you see, that's really the only spot color in Otis and the Tornado other than the characters, the tornado and the greenish sky becoming a storm. And then in Otis and the Puppy, I did make the choice that the nighttime would be the additional color character. So I have these midnight blue skies. And then turning into an Otis Christmas, the snow became a color, the blues and shadows in the snow. And so here I am with Otis and the Scarecrow, so very much the fall colors, the orange pumpkins and the browns and oranges and of that setting became a color character, really. So, yeah.
Well, it is a wonderful book, and it's always lovely to talk with you and to talk about Otis.
Barbara, thank you so much.
It's good to be with you.
I feel like we're friends now, and so many more interviews in the future.
Yes, yes, and hopefully more than six Otis books. Just like you didn't have to stop at one, you don't have to stop at six.
All right, we'll see.
I want to let people know that they can join you at the Blue Manatee on Saturday, September 20th at 2 p.m. And Lauren Long will also be at the Green Acres Illustrator Day on Saturday, October 25th. Thanks so much again, Lauren. Good to be with you.
Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Lauren Long about his latest Otis book, which is titled Otis and the Scarecrow. You'll find more information at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.